नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। As a part of my service, sometimes I have to speak also, give classes also, so please bear with me. Now, devotees, most of the devotees went for Melkota Yatra, so till 8th, we won't be having Radhika Valla Prabhu, or Damodar Prabhu, or Gauram Prabhu, so till that time we'll discuss. So in this 9th chapter, Prabhuji took till 16 verses. So, I'll just give a short recap of what was already discussed. So, in the 8th chapter ending, Yudhishthira Maharaj was aggrieved and bit of confused also, because just to enthrone Yudhishthira Maharaj, so many people had to be killed, 64 crores of people had to be killed. So, Yudhishthira was aggrieved. So nobody could convince him, including Vyasadeva and Krishna. So everyone went to Bhishma Dev. So Krishna definitely wanted to give credit to Bhishma Dev of convincing Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dharmaraj, right? When he himself and Vyasadeva himself could not convince him. So they went to Bhishma Dev's deathbed and Bhishma Dev welcomed them nicely, offered respects to Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev welcomed them. Because he couldn't do anything to welcome them in a normal way, he just welcomed them with sweet words, right? And the names of various great personalities, rishis, were also given. Then Bhishma Dev worshipped the Lord at that point, right, by glorifying him in various ways. So before that, Bhishma Dev actually encouraged and pacified Yudhishthira Maharaj and other Pandavas. He said, all these sufferings are inflicted upon you, you don't deserve this, you are Vipra Dharma Chutashraya. Then Sarvam Kalakritam Manye Bhavatam Jayadapriyam. So it's all done by the inconceivable time aspect of Supreme Lord. Then in the 16th verse, the previous verse, the last verse that Prabhuji discussed, is this. Lord's plan is inconceivable. What was that? Nahyasya karhisit rajan puman veda vidichatam yad vidignasaya yukta muhyanti kavavyopi. So Lord's plan is inconceivable. Even great personalities would be bewildered by his plan, right? Even great personalities cannot comprehend what's going on in his mind. So that's how we ended in the previous section. As Prabhupada gives a nice lesson that because nobody can comprehend the Lord's plan, so the best policy is to simply abide by the orders of the Lord without any argument. So this is how Prabhupada writes on this 16th purport. So now Bhishma Dev is concluding the section of pacification or encouraging the Pandavas. Till the 17th verse. Then from 18th verse to 24th verse, Bhishma Dev goes on to another theme of glorifying Krishna. So glorification of Krishna is definitely there in the previous verses also. In the 16th and 17th verses, Bhishma Dev glorified Krishna as inconceivable, right? So in the 17th verse, we'll read this verse. Tasmadidam Devatantram Vyavasya Bharatarshabha Tasyanu Vihito Natha Natha Pahi Praja Prabhu. Someone read.
Thank you.
in the 16th verse, Bhishmadev is saying, Muhyanti Kavayopihi. Chakvartipad gives a nice explanation. Now, nobody can know the plan of the Lord. That is the point that Bhishmadev was making. Yudhishthira Maharaj might question, how can you say nobody can know the plan of the Lord? He is standing right in front of you. We can ask him and he will know. You will know. Then, in answer to that, Bhishmadev will say, even if I ask him, he will evade me. He will avoid me. And even if he answers, still he will bewilder me. Right? He will bewilder everyone. So, better thing is, don't try to understand what is his plan. Just try to follow it. Right? That is the point he is making in the 17th verse. What was he telling? Eshavai Bhagavan. No, not this. 17th, right? He is saying, Tasmat idam daiva tantram. Earlier he said, Puman Veda Vishitam. Muhyanti, he is a Lord's plan is inconceivable. Now here he is saying he is Daiva. He is Daiva, Lord is Daiva, Daiva Tantram. This is all, whatever has happened is within the plan of the Lord, right? So what you need to do is just follow it. Tasya Anubihita. You just follow what is ordained by the Lord, right? Natha Pahi Praja Prabhu. Bhishmadev is saying, oh my Lord, he is addressing or Yudhishthira Maharaj as Prabhu, right? And what is Lord's plan? So what Yudhishthira Maharaj has to follow? Take care of the subjects. So that is how you have to follow. So therefore his plan is to be followed but not subject to enquiry. So his plan for you is you should become the king and rule the citizens. Simple. His plan is simple. You just follow. Now Prabhupada is saying that Lord teaches the world by teaching his devotee. Example, a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. So similarly, by teaching the devotee, Lord teaches the whole world. So a devotee's duty is another classic statement of Prabhupada in this series. A devotee's duty therefore is to ungrudgingly accept the tribulations from the Lord as a benediction and favor. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no mundane difference between the two. So sometimes it may seem that Lord is favoring someone or benedicting someone, and sometimes it is seen that Lord is inflicting tribulations or sufferings upon another person, right? But a devotee accepts both in the same spirit, because Lord is absolute. So whether suffering is coming from him or benediction is coming from him, both are absolute. You just ungrudgingly accept, right? He is non-dual, right? You can't just discriminate between his different dealings. Both are to be accepted as mercy of the Lord. Like that. So what is the plan? Plan is that Yudhishthira Maharaj should become the king and rule. Why Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to become the king? What is the problem with Duryodhan? What is the problem with anyone else? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was a pure devotee. When pure devotee is sitting on the throne and ruling the citizens, so citizens will have better opportunities to go back to Godhead. The plan, the whole plan behind the creation, as we had learned in the third chapter, beginning verses, Prabhupada writes. So, to reclaim the conditioned souls, Krishna is enacting this Srishti Leela. Right? So, when a righteous king is on the throne, he will rule the citizens in a Krishna conscious way. So, Lord's mission of reclaiming the conditioned souls in this material world is fulfilled when the righteous king is on the throne. So that's why Krishna wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to become the king, not anyone else. Like that. So this is Lord's plan to enthrone you. That's why he just orchestrated this whole Kurukshetra war. You follow. That's how Bhishmadev is suggesting. So now, having said that, bringing the whole discussion to the point of Krishna, right? Now, from next in the 6 to 7 verses, Bhishmadev will glorify Krishna in various ways. 18th verse. Esha vai Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayan Mayaya Lokam Gudhas Charati Vrishnishu. Read. Now, Krishna came, all Pandavas came in front of Bhishma Dev. Now Bhishma Dev had certain questions and Yudhishthira Maharaj had certain questions and Bhishma Dev had to pacify him and encourage him. Now Bhishma Dev expertly is bringing the whole discussion to the point of glorification of Krishna here. Here he is saying, earlier he said he is Daiva. In the 18th verse he is saying he is Sakshat Bhagavan, original personality of Godhead. Second, he is saying Adyo Narayana. He is the first Narayana. He is the origin of all Narayanas. So Krishna is there, from him expands Baladev and from him Chaturvyuha, and then all different kinds of Narayanas come, right? And all the Purusha avatars, all the avatars expand. So he is the original person from whom all Narayanas are emanating, right? There are different Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world. So all of them, all the Narayanas who are the predominating deities of all those Vaikuntha planets have their source in Krishna. Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa, right? So he is first Narayana. So Bhishma is philosophically very sound. Right, he knows the tattva of Krishna. Then he is Puman, he is the supreme enjoyer. So he is glorifying Krishna in various ways. But what is he doing here? Mohayan Mayaya Lokam Gudhas Charati Vrishnishu. Although he is first Narayana, Adyo Narayana, although he is Puman, although he is Sakshat Bhagavan, still just by wandering in the families of Vrishnis, he is bewildering all of us. Right? Mohayan Mayaya. By his own potency, he is bewildering all of us. Lokam, Gudhas Charati Vrishnishu. So Prabhupada brings out this point. Here, Bhishma Dev is an authority. There are 12 authorities, Mahajans. Out of them, Bhishma Dev is one authority. So now this authority is saying that Krishna is first Narayana and Krishna is Sakshat Bhagavan and Supreme Enjoyer. Right? So authority's words have to be accepted as it is. Bhishma Dev is Mahajan. So he is establishing the supremacy of Krishna over all that be. Right? So Prabhupada goes on explaining about the deductive process, learning from authority, not the inductive process of speculation. Then evam parampara pratam, he quotes all that. So if you want to know who is, if somebody wants to know who is his father, he has to inquire from mother. Right? Just by doing some medical tests, he cannot figure out. Better ask mother, then he will know who is the father. So similarly, you ask from an authority, who is the God? Like that. So that is about inquiring or learning from authority. Then Prabhupada also elaborates on this Adyo Narayana. Krishna is the first Narayana, the supreme enjoyer. So here not only Bhishma is saying this, that Krishna is the original Narayana. Shankaracharya also says, Prabhupada quotes the verse somewhere. Narayana Paravyaktad. Right? Shankaracharya also says, even Brahmaji says in the 10th canto of his prayers, Narayanastvam Nahi Sarvadehinam. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, if you see, the third chapter is establishing Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kaviraj Goswami's approach is simple. He establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that chapter, based on the verses Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa and this verse, Narayanastvam Nahi Sarvadehinam. This verse by Brahmaji, and one more verse he quotes, this one. Atra sargo visargasya sthanam poshanam utaya. Right? So the 10th element, 10th subject matter of Bhagavatam is Ashraya. So Krishna. So in that Ashraya theme, Ashraya canto, 10th canto, the main subject matter is discussed is Krishna. Right? All others are like, subordinate subjects compared to this 10th Ashraya Tattva. They are all, this is Ashraya is giving, one who gives shelter. So others are one who takes shelter. So that way Krishna is the supreme hero there. So based on these verses, Kaviraj Goswami establishes the supremacy of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I just remembered that this 10.14.14 is used by him also, Kaviraj Goswami also, to prove that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. After doing the whole thing, at the end of the chapter, in couple of verses, Kaviraj Goswami says, that Krishna descended as Lord Chaitanya. So, Lord Chaitanya is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simple. So, that is one thing. Then, there is a beautiful series of statements by Brahmaji to Krishna in the 10th canto, proving that Brahmaji just says, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Then Krishna says, no, I am just a small cowherd boy, so Narayana is the Supreme. no, no, Narayana, you are the original Narayana. Narayana is coming from you. So like that. So many things. So all Acharyas, Brahmaji, Shankaracharya are also confirming the statement of Bhishmadev. That is the point here. And Prabhupada speaks about the bewildering energies of the Lord also in the last paragraph. Right? So there is internal energy, there is external energy. So there is internal energetic bewilderment and external energetic bewilderment. So straightforward points. So 18th verse is done. Now 19th verse. Now here, earlier he said, Bhishmadev made a point that nobody can understand the plan of the Lord. Right? Earlier theme is nobody can understand the plan of the Lord. His plan is inconceivable. Then he bewilders everyone through his maya, Godas Charati Vrishnishu. Right? But he is Sakshat Bhagavan and Adhyanarayana. So now a question, somebody may get a question. Who will understand him? If no one can, you are saying that no one can understand him, he is just hiding himself. Who will understand him? Who has the capacity of understanding his plans and his activities? Right? So they are often bewildering. Now he kept inflicted so much suffering on Yudhishthira Maharaj. So how can we understand? So in the 19th verse, Bhishmadev makes a point that yes, you can understand Lord Krishna to some extent. Right? How? By following the Mahajans. Right. So Prabhupada's purport here is like a preparation for entering into the 19th verse. Prabhupada's 18th purport is a preparation for 19th verse. Asyanubhavam Bhagavan Veda Guhyatamam Shiva Deva Shirnarada Sakshat Bhagavan Kapilonrupa. So who knows? Mahajans know. There are 12 Mahajans. Bhishmadev is giving 3 names here. Kapila, Devarshi, Narada and Shiva. And he himself, 4th. So like that. He is not claiming himself as Mahajan. He is just quoting some 3 names. Right? So Chakravarti Pad and Prabhupada give very elaborate purport on this verse. Very nice. Here very attentively. Here, Tasya Anubhavam Bhagavan. Asya Anubhavam Bhagavan. So, Anubhavam. Prabhupada translates this word Anubhavam as Lord's glories. Chakravartipada writes this as symptoms. Whatever. We will take Prabhupada's statement as they are glories of the Lord. How are they glories? We will see in the purport. So, this Lord's Anubhavas, right, are known to the Mahajans. Only to that extent Krishna reveals to them. They cannot know everything. They cannot, all the Shiva, Kapila, all of them will know. But they will know to that extent which Krishna chooses to reveal to them. They will not completely know Krishna's intentions or real form or his real powers. They will know. Okay? To a fairly good extent. So there are innumerable pure devotees based on innumerable expansions of his plenary form and their exchanges in different humors. So Prabhupada begins the purport saying that there are so many devotees. Here 3 devotees names are mentioned, Shiva, Kapila and Narada. Similarly, there are so many innumerable pure devotees. And depending on their kind of exchange with the Lord, those many number of devotees are there. So there are so many forms of the Lord. Similarly, there are varieties of devotees also. So Anubhava or the Lord's glories is first appreciated by a devotee who is in bhava. Right? And that symptoms are manifested by perspiration and then goosebumps, hair standing and different symptoms of bhava of devotee. Right? And these symptoms of bhava of a devotee are further enhanced by knowing more of Lord's glories. If you know Lord's glories more, you will experience the symptoms even more. Right? So, some of these glories, some of these anubhavas of the Lord are exhibited by his being the subordinate of his devotees. Lord experiences, you know, great pleasure if he takes the role of a subordinate of a devotee. For example, Yashoda Mai. So Yashoda Mai is like protector of Krishna, right? Krishna takes shelter in Yashoda Mai. Yashoda Mai's protection, right? So that is one anubhava of the Lord. Then second, Arjuna is there. He is the chariot. He is sitting in the chariot, and Krishna is driving the chariot. So Krishna took a subordinate role of Arjuna. So that is one of his glory, one of his anubhava. So all these, why Krishna takes these kinds of different roles, all these are understood by Mahajans, right? Then, so these are some of the anubhavas indicating Krishna's dependence on his devotees. Then, now Chakravarti Pada defines the word prema. So we discussed about the anubhava of the devotee and the Lord. Now prema is that object which melts the hearts of Vishaya and Ashraya, which has many varieties and which brings both parties under the control of each other. That is prema. Prema is that emotion which brings both parties. What are the two parties? Ashraya and Vishaya. Ashraya is the abode of love. Vishaya is the object of love. The object of love is Krishna. Ashraya, the abode of love, is devotee. So now prema is that which connects these two parties and brings each other under the control of each other. So sometimes the ashraya controls the Vishaya, sometimes the Vishaya controls the ashraya. Krishna's love controls Yashoda Mai. Yashoda Mai's love controls Krishna. And what is that whole concept going on? Prema. That is prema. So that's how he defines. So now, if that is what, it is the crushed jewel of all goals of human being, and to attain that kind of exchange of relation with Krishna is the final goal of a human devotee, human being. Right? And that goal is achieved, and it's described in terms of bhakti, sneha, anuraga, all that. So if that is the kind of exchange between the Lord and devotees, and that prema is the element which is prominent in their exchanges, so what is this tribulations coming from? Getting, na? So devotee experiences bhava of ecstatic emotions, and Lord experiences anubhava of being subordinate of the devotees, and between both of them there is prema, right? So now where is this tribulations coming from? Why devotee is experiencing so much of suffering, like Yudhishthira Maharaj here, right? Now, Chakravarti Pada and Prabhupada both make a beautiful point that Lord purposefully puts his devotees into difficulties. Why? Putting them into difficulties is also another kind of bhava. The devotee will experience a bhava, right? And the Lord wants to give him that kind of bhava, right? So, tribulations are also mercy of the Lord. So, that is the point. Now, both of them quote Yasyaham Anugrahanami Hariseta Dhanam Sanai. So if someone is there, a devotee is there, so Krishna will take away all his material wealth, and all the relatives of Krishna, relatives of the devotee will leave him. So he is helplessly dependent on Krishna. You must be knowing this, right? So by putting a devotee in tribulations, so Krishna will make him helplessly dependent on him. That is the plan of Krishna. That's why then the devotee experiences so much of bhava. Right, that is also ecstasy. So conclusion is that devotee may be experiencing suffering, but it may not be because of prarabdha karmas. It could be because of Lord's plan also, and that kind of exchange is also bhava. That is a conclusion. So Prabhupada writes, tribulations imposed upon devotees by the Lord constitute another exchange of transcendental bhava between the Lord and devotees. So that is the way the Lord snatches a fallen soul from the mire of material existence. Prabhupada makes a classic statement. By giving him tribulations and by making him helplessly dependent on Krishna, he will snatch away from the mire of material existence. So now point is, where is this whole discussion coming up? Question is, you are saying Krishna, nobody can understand plan of Krishna. right? His glories are confidentially known to only Mahajans. In that context, this whole discussion is coming up, right? So now, the answer which we discussed is Krishna is giving difficulties to the devotee and they will experience bhava. But Krishna can increase the bhava of devotees by not giving them difficulties also. Right? It's not necessary that he will have to give difficulties only. By not giving difficulties also, he can make them experience bhava. So now, that way this statement comes, no one can know his plan. So to some extent, Mahajans know this plan, whatever is revealed to them. But everyone cannot know this plan. Sometimes Krishna will give difficulties and increase the bhava of the devotees. And sometimes he will increase the bhava of devotees without giving them difficulties also. So no one knows his plan. But devotees will know to some extent. Right? So they will not be bewildered by seeing the tribulations of a devotee. Right? Mahajans are not bewildered by seeing the tribulations of a devotee. So that is the plan. So their faith on the Lord will not be slackened by seeing the difficulties. So all these are glories are known to the devotees. Right? Shiva and Narada. And some fools, Prabhupada, Chakravartipa says, fools do not know all these anubhavas of the Lord. Right? So like Krishna allowing himself to be tied up by Yashodamai, Krishna taking up the role of a charioteer. So all these are like, they are like bewildering to them. So but Mahajans know. So why Lord is taking a dependent role, subordinate role to his devotees, why devotees are experiencing difficulties. So all these are known to Mahajans. This is clear, no? Then 20th verse.
यम मन्यसे मातुलेयम् प्रियं मित्रं सुहृत्तमम् अकरोः सचिवं दूतं सौहृदात् अथ सारथिम्
So in the previous verse, what did he say? 18th verse, right? Gudas charati vrishnishu. He is just wandering in the family of Vrishnis, but you don't know, he is Bhagavan this and that. Now here he is saying, out of your ignorance you have considered him ordinary person and you are having this kind of dealings. Maternal cousin, friend, that kind of dealings you are having. But understand, he is the cause of everything. Right? He is the very personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Krishna may be playing the role of a messenger, Duta. I mean, if you want to send a message to someone, you will not get the top guy of the company or something like that. You will tell some peon, you go and tell, convey this message to him. So now Krishna may be acting that role. If you see the later chapters, this verse comes. Sarathya Parishad Sevana Sakhya Dotya Virasananu Gamana Stavana Pranamam Snigdheshu Pandushu Jagat Pranatim Cha Vishnur Bhaktim Karoti Nrupatish Charanaravinde. Sarathya, he plays the role of a messenger. Parishada, then he will sit on the throne and accept the Rajasuya sacrifice, all that worship. From messenger to the worshipper, receiver of worship. Parishada, Sevana, servant, Sakhya, friend. Servant-friend, both. Dautya, Virasana is night watchman. Anugamana, follows them, their orders. Stavana, prayers, glorifying them. Pranaman, offering obeisances. All these roles are prayed by Krishna in relation to Pandavas only because Snigdheshu Pandushu Jagat Pranatim Cha Vishnor. He is Jagat Pranatim Cha Vishnor. All the controllers of different planetary systems, their predominating deities will come and offer obeisance to this personality, Jagat Pranatim Cha Vishnor. Yet, he will play all these roles, Sarathya, Parishad, Sevana, Sakya, Devatya, because Snigdheshu Pandushu, because Pandavas are Snigdheshu, very malleable to the will of Krishna. Whatever Krishna may be desiring, that they may be put in unlimited tribulations in Vanavas or whatever, they are malleable to his will and accept all those tribulations without any complaint. Their faith on Krishna will not be slackened, right, by any amount of tribulations. They are malleable to the will of Krishna. So that is the glory of Pandavas. So now Yudhishthira or Bhishma is pointing out that don't misunderstand the position of the Lord. It need not be told, but still Bhishma Dev is saying that don't misunderstand his position as an ordinary human being just because he's having this kind of dealings with you. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sakshat. So Lord's favor on his pure devotees. Prabhupada comments on that. He may be doing all kinds of service, but that doesn't minimize his position as the Supreme Person. Right? Just because Krishna is acting the role of a charioteer doesn't mean he has become so low in his position. He still remains the Supreme Lord. But he does so out of affection for his devotees. Out of his causeless mercy and favor upon his unalloyed devotees, he performs all kinds of service. But that does not mean he has changed his position as absolute person. So now this is another example only. Earlier we were discussing about Lord's Anubhavas of depending on his devotees. So now here, taking a subordinate role of his devotees, same thing is mentioned here. He may be taking subordinate roles of you, but he is the Supreme Lord. So becoming a messenger or a charioteer because of being controlled by your bhakti, right, is not a degradation in his person. He still remains the absolute person. So if he is like that, how can the Lord's prema give him real happiness? Now Chakravarti gives a transition between these verses from 20 to 21. So 20 is, don't misunderstand his plan, he is not an ordinary human being. Then 21 is different qualities of Krishna, which are faultless qualities. If Krishna, in 20th verse, Bhishma is saying Krishna is taking so many subordinate roles, messenger or watchman or whatever, right, charioteer. So does it minimize his position? No. His faultless qualities are more. That is from the 21. Sarvatmana samadrisho
yadvayasyanaham
krute tatkritam mati vaishamyam niravadyasya nakvachit. So what he is saying is Krishna is Sarvatmana. He is present in everyone's heart. He is Samadrisha. He is equal to everyone. He is Advayasya. He is always the absolute person. Right? He cannot, his position is not minimized at any point. And Anahankrite. He is free from all material false ego. Right? Then Tatkritam means whatever he does has these features. What? Mati Vaishamyam. Free from any material inabilities. Then Niravadyasa, free from all attachment. So Krishna may be seemingly doing certain activities, but he does it without any attachment to the activity. Second point, those activities are free from any material contamination. Right? So he may be playing the role of a charioteer, he may be playing the role of a messenger, but that doesn't minimize his position. Right? That doesn't degrade his position in any way. He still remains the absolute. Right? Chakravartipad gives nice explanation of all these qualities. So Niravadyasya means Krishna is without fault. So his prema is also faultless for the devotees. Tatkritam, his actions as a messenger are not deviation of his mind, because he is at all times possessor of great powers which accomplish everything automatically. Here, somebody may question, you are speaking about the prema between Pandavas and Krishna, right? So if Krishna is taking such menial positions, how can he exhibit faultless prema? Right? As an answer, as a reply to that, Bhishma Dev spoke the 21st verse. Now Chakravartipad gives a nice argument. A man who doesn't have powers, for example, a person is there, he has not many powers, but he has affection, love and affection, he has prema. So, if he is undergoing certain kind of suffering, right, then because of his prema within, so he will not consider that suffering as actual pain, even a powerless person. So what to speak of Krishna, who is all powerful. So he may be taking the role of a subordinate to his devotee, but still his prema is still faultless because he has all powers. His position is never minimized like that. So Bhishma wants to point out that Pandavas are the special examples of this kind of loving affection, prema. Because Lord Tatkritam, Lord played such kind of roles for them. So Advayasya, so many other points, each of these points are explained. Advayasya, he is absolute. Then super soul, he is Sarvatmana Samadrisha. So it is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates him as the chariot driver or the messenger. So by the power of the devotional service of a devotee, Krishna is taking up subordinate roles, right? But his position is never minimized, right? And Anahankrite emphasizes that point, that he has no false material identifications, right? A person taking up the role of a driver or a messenger, I mean, that's a material identification for a normal person. But Krishna taking up that role is not filled with any material qualities like that. It is pure affection for his devotees. So it is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about such service from affectionate Lord. The affection of a devotee will make Krishna to take such subordinate roles. In Vrindavan, if you see, all the gopis, elderly gopis, will ask Krishna, small boy, 2-3-year-old boy, you bring that table. So Krishna will slap his arms and then lift the table, make a show of lifting the table and then bring it like that. So you can't tell the supreme personality of Godhead, supreme controller of all planets, universes, this and that, to bring a table, stool. Right? But he does it. Because he is controlled by the prema. That is the theme of these 2-3 verses. Now, 22nd verse. In 20th and 21st verses, Bhishmadev is glorifying Krishna's position as supreme. Right? He is faultless and many, many other qualities he mentioned. Tathapi, still. He begins the 22nd verse like that. Still. What is that? Tathapi ekanta bhakteshu pasya bhupanu kampitam yenme sumschidata sakshat krishno darshanamagata. Tathapi ekanta bhakteshu. Earlier what was he told? Sarvatmana samadrisha. He is present in everyone's heart, samadrisha, and he is equal to everyone. Tathapi, still. Ekanta bhakteshu. He will give special favor to his unalloyed devotees. Yet despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me. So the example of that special favor to devotees is Krishna personally coming in front of Bhishmadev. Earlier Bhishmadev glorified, we'll read this translation, equal to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. So although he is equal to everyone, he will exhibit some special favor towards his devotees, right, controlled by their love and affection. So an example of that is, I am about to leave my body now, so Krishna came here to personally see me. And Chakravartipad explains the humble disposition of Bhishma, that because of affection for Pandavas, Krishna came in front of Bhishma. Earlier, Bhishmadev glorified the position of Pandavas as nice devotees of Krishna, right? So because of affection towards you, he is showing affection towards me, right? So that is the humility of Bhishmadev. So now Prabhupada nicely describes the dependence and independence aspects. So an unflinching devotee, who is an unflinching devotee? He has unflinching faith on Krishna as the protector, friend, master, right? And having such unflinching faith on Krishna as protector and master is the natural condition of every living entity, right? Every living entity is eternally and naturally by default dependent on Krishna only, right? But that gets contaminated when someone is in material world, right? The mentality of independence creeps in, right? He wants to become fully independent and wants to lord over the material world. So that state of independence is because of false ego. And the state of dependence on Krishna as a protector or master or friend is the natural state of every living entity. So Bhishma is in the natural state of living entity. So there is no impurity there. He is naturally identifying himself as servant. So here, practicing devotees means there are different degrees of impurity. Right? Some identify themselves as unflinching servants of Krishna, some not so much. So like that, depending on the level of our independence on Krishna, the level of our advancement is decided. So here, another important beautiful point here is, Bhishma is identifying himself as unflinching servant of Krishna, right? But Arjuna is also a nice servant of Krishna, but Arjuna had a bodily relation with Krishna as a cousin, maternal cousin. But Bhishma doesn't have such a direct bodily relation with Krishna. So Bhishma's connection with Krishna is purely based on the soul. There is no bodily element there. However, when there is unflinching devotion to Krishna plus body relation also, the relationship with Krishna becomes even more sweeter. So Bhishma is identifying that point. In several verses, Bhishma identifies Krishna as Partha Sakhe, Partha Saradi, Vijaya Sakhe, like that. So from Bhishma's point of view, Krishna's identification is in relation to Arjuna, like that. So the constant darshan which Bhishma is meditating upon is Krishna's Partha Saradi form. So Arjuna is a very important personality for Bhishma Dev. Like that. So, as we said, the transcendental humor based on body relationship is sweet. So Bhishma is conscious of that. That's why he is calling him as Partha Saradi, Vijaya Sakhe, like that. So, best way to establish our relationship with Krishna is approaching him through those devotees. Like Vijaya means Arjuna or Bhishma, like that. Prabhupada writes like that. And such devotees are transparent via medium. Now he glorified Bhagavan in the previous verses, right, as different ways. And he glorified that Bhagavan's, Krishna's feelings for his devotee, his special favor for his devotee. Now here, 23rd verse, Bhishmadev reveals the process of reaching that Bhagavan, which is bhakti. So bhakti yoga brings in that bhakta and Bhagavan together, like that. That is 23rd verse.
Bhaktyavesha mano yasmin vacha yannama kirtayan jajan kalevaram yogi muchyate kama karma bhi.
So, what brings about such, favor from the Lord towards his devotees is bhakti. Bhakti avesha, mano yasmin, vacha yannama kirtayan. So, if someone does bhakti by chanting the names of Krishna, right? So, for such a person, so Krishna's remembrance and Krishna's presence is very much there. This verse is similar to Bhagavad Gita, antakale cha mamaiva. Svaranmutva kalevaram, that thing. So tejan kalevaram yogi muchyate kama karma bhi. He will be relieved of all material existence, and he will be transferred to the material spiritual world, like that. So Prabhupada explains the state of samadhi means, he used a devotional definition of it, is 100% engagement 24 hours in Krishna service, like that. So fate of such a devotee is, while leaving his body, he will be transferred to the spiritual world. He need not just continue his transmigration cycle in the material world. Like that. Then, 24. One important point here is, now, if someone is in samadhi, he continuously performs devotion service 24 hours in a day. So he will be transferred to the spiritual world after leaving this body. Simple concept. Now what causes this transmigration is, Prabhupada comments on that also, which is material desires. Material desires cause this threefold material miseries. Right? So bhakti yoga. So now material desires are causing threefold material miseries. So if someone gives up desire, then he will automatically be out of this transmigration cycle. Someone may say that. No, you cannot give up desires. What you can do is you can dovetail desires in devotional service. So that is, then you go into samadhi state of 24 hours engagement. All this Bhishma is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj. 24.
Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshatam. Kalevaram Yavadidam Hinomyaham. Prasannahasa Arunalo Chanolasan. Mukhambujodhyana Patascha Durbhuja.
So now I am about to leave my body. So what I will do is I will focus my mind on him. That is his point. Someone read translation. So abide for me. You wait for me till I leave the body. What does that mean? My leaving body is within my control. So I can leave my body at my will. So you please wait till that point. So before leaving his body, he has to do certain things of enlightening Yudhishthira Maharaj. So here Bhishma is desiring that Krishna manifest his prasannahasa runalochanolasan chaturbhuja, mukhambhujo dhyana patas chaturbhuja. You manifest the four-handed form, is saying. So Chakravarti gives an explanation that Bhishma used a mantra for meditation. In that mantra, the Lord is addressed as a four-handed Narayana form. So Bhishma is desiring to manifest Krishna in four-handed form, like that. So this is Bhishma's humility. So Bhishma is going back to Godhead or remaining as an eternal associate of Krishna is like assured. It is by default it will happen. But out of his humility, he is not feeling that after death I will be reaching Krishna. He was not assured of it. So, at least till the last moment of my life, let me behold Lord's form. In that mood, he is requesting Krishna, please be in front of my eyes till I leave my body. Like that. So, Prabhupada writes that a Vaishnava is not puffed up. Right? Although the Lord guarantees his pure devotee entrance into his abode, still out of humility, Vaishnava doesn't feel like that. And another point is, one is humility, that he will not he's not qualified to enter the spiritual kingdom. He feels like that out of humility. Second thing is, anyways, pure devotee is not anxious to go back to Godhead also. He is not so eagerly looking forward for it. When will I reach there? He is not looking for that. He entirely depends on Krishna's goodwill. If Krishna wants me to go there, I will go there. In spiritual world. If Krishna wants me to remain in this spiritual world, in this material world, and do some service here, I will do. So, the geographical location in the entire cosmic manifestation is immaterial for a devotee. His profile, wherever he may be in, what is he doing? Is he serving Krishna? Is he getting an opportunity to render some service to Krishna? That is his focus. Is he acting according to the will of Krishna? That is pure devotee's focus. He is not so much focused on he will go back to Godhead or not. He is focused on service. We have this example of Anantacharya. Maharaj explains that he is bitten by a snake in Tirupati. Right? So all devotees are requesting him, you take some medicine, otherwise the poison will kill you. So nobody could convince him to take that medicine. So people reported to Balaji only directly. And Balaji asked him, you take medicine. Then you take medicine, otherwise the poison will affect you. Then Anantacharya says, what kind of poison are you speaking about? Is that the poison of envy, lust, greed and other anarthas in my heart? Right? Or is it the poison of snake? Right? If it is the poison of the snake, but the poison which is poison of anarthas is more intense in me, that the snake's poison is insignificant in comparison to that, right? And if that poison of, then I will not die, right? And if the poison of snake is more powerful than the poison of my anarthas, then I will die. If I don't die, I will take bath in Pushkarini and serve you here. And if I die, I will take bath in Virajaravir and serve you there. So my job profile will not change. So why should I end up, why should I waste my, you know, time in taking medicine? So he will not do that. So he is focused on service. Just one example. So purity virtue depends on goodwill of the Lord. He is equally satisfied even if the Lord desires him to go to hell. This is another statement by Prabhupada. Narayana parasarve na nakutasena vibhyati svargapa varga narakeshu api tulyartha darshana. So Shiva, Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, and Chitraketu just accepts that curse and then he leaves. Then Shiva says, devotee is not afraid of going to hell or becoming a demon. Right? Wherever he is focused on service of the Lord. Like that. That's why if you see the all the prayers of great devotees, our Dhruva Maharaj or Prithu Maharaj or any other personalities, Prahlad Maharaj, they don't exhibit a desire to go back to Godhead. Their desire is, let me serve you, let me be in the association of devotees, let me get an opportunity to hear your glories. Bhakti mohu pravahatam tavayime prasango bhuyad ananta mahatan amalasayanam yenanja solbana virvyasanam bhavabdim neshye bhavad guna kathamrata pana matta. Right? So, I am not afraid of this material existence. All I need is your association of your devotees and an opportunity to hear, right? And then render some devotional service. So Bhishma had the highest ambition, which is to absorb his mind in thinking of the Lord, not to go back to Godhead. So at this point, Bhishma stops his appeals and prayers. So he pacified and encouraged the Pandavas till now, and he ended his verses by glorifying Krishna. Then at this point Yudhishthira Maharaj is inspired by Krishna to inquire from Bhishmadev about some Raja Dharma, Sri Dharma, then many other dharmas, Dana Dharma, Raja Dharma, all that. So in 25th verse he is asking, Suta uvacha Yudhishthirastada karanyam Shayanam sharapanjare Apruchadvidhavan dharman Vividhan dharma Rishinam chanushrunvatam. Now, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking Bhishma this. In the presence of Krishna, in the presence of many great sages, all the names are mentioned in the first verses. And in what condition is he asking? Shayyayam, Shayyanam Sharapanjare. He is lying on the bed of arrows and he is unable to move. All he could move is his tongue, nothing else, of in no other part of his body. So in that kind of aggrieved, precarious physical condition, Yudhishthira Maharaj is inquiring Bhishmadev. That too, is it because he has no other option? There are many other options. Vyasadev is sitting there and Krishna is directly sitting there and many other sages are there. So why Yudhishthira Maharaj is making such an inquiry? He is inspired by Krishna. And what is Krishna's intention in inspiring Yudhishthira in this way? He wanted to glorify Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev, although apparently he led a life of a normal politician, right? He is not a, you know, sage, he is not a demigod, but still his position is superior to all those personalities because he is Bhishma, he is a pure devotee of the Lord, right? So Krishna wanted to glorify his position. So by any material standards, Bhishma should not be questioned on all these technical complicated subject matters at that point. In the presence of so many personalities, still Krishna inspired Yudhishthira to ask him to prove the superiority of Bhishma. Right? You may misunderstand Bhishma's position, seeing his whole life, right? But he is, this is what he is, like that. Inquiry to Bhishma Dev in the presence of great sages indicates the superiority of Bhishma Dev. Krishna established his devotees' glories by inspiring Yudhishthira to prefer Bhishma to anyone else. And Prabhupada gives a nice analogy. A father likes to see his son more famous. Krishna, aham bija pradapita, he is the father of all living entities. So, he is father of Bhishma also. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj is not inquiring Krishna, he is inquiring Bhishma Dev. So, Krishna as a father is feeling more pleasure when his son, Bhishma, is getting the glory. Right, of instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj in front of so many great personalities. Lord declares very emphatically that the worship of a devotee is more valuable than worship of Lord himself. If you worship Krishna, oh, Krishna is happy. If you worship his devotee, Krishna is more happy. Like that. So, just like devotees are eager to glorify Krishna or hear about Krishna, but Krishna is also eager to glorify his devotees and hear about his devotees. This is a very prominent theme in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu glorifies devotees like anything. Rupa Goswami, Ramananda Rai, Sanatan Goswami, or Gadadhar Pandit, many devotees. You see by Madhya Leela, all those are filled with glories of devotees as heard and spoken by Mahaprabhu. Right? Mahaprabhu spends one full chapter just to hear the Sakshi Gopal pastime. Mahaprabhu spends one full chapter in Madhya Leela just to discuss the glories of Madhavendra Puri. Right? So Krishna derives more pleasure in glorifying his devotee or in seeing his devotee being glorified. Mm-hmm. And why does he give tribulations to them? That is also to glorify them only. Now, whole life Bhishma had so many struggles. Right? Dhritarashtra is doing so many things. Duryodhana is doing so much nonsense, and Dhritarashtra being the king is supporting him, and helplessly our Bhishma Dev was watching him. So whole life he is like defeated in all ways, but he is glorious. So Krishna wanted to prove that at the end of his life. And then once Maharaj gives this example that in Mahaprakash Leela, Mahaprabhu sits there and requests all the devotee, you have any desire, speak it out, I will fulfill your desire. He will encourage, he will tempt them to ask so many benedictions. But none of them had any material desire. All of them are asking for the mood of servant and do devotional service continuously only. So sometimes by tempting them with benedictions, even Maharaj or Narasingadev tempted our Prahlad Maharaj to ask some benediction. By tempting them with benedictions or by giving them tribulations or by just verbally glorifying them, Krishna wants to see his devotee being glorified. Right? So it could be calamities or curses. Chitraketu Maharaj also, when he was cursed by Parvati, Prabhupada writes several purports there that it is Lord's plan to show the disposition of a devotee, how he accepts the curses, how he responds to it. Even in this canto, towards the end of this canto, we will see Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was accepting the curse as a benediction to get out of his material duties of being a politician or king. Right? He accepts that curse as a benediction. This is a benediction is in disguise. Right? This curse. So that mood would not have been revealed to the entire world if Krishna would not put the devotees in that situation. It's not that Krishna is being cruel. Krishna is eager to glorify his devotee by giving him so much troubles. Here Bhishma Dev is glorified in a different way by Krishna. Now, Vividhan Dharman. Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking about different kinds of dharma. What are those dharmas? 26 and 27 are the description of what are those dharmas. Description is just brief mention, titles. Purushasvabhava Vihitan. Yathavarnam Yathashramam Vairagyarago Padibhyam Amnatobhya Lakshanan Amnatobhya Lakshanan. So Bhishma explained about different varanas and ashramas. Yatha varanam, yatha ashramam. Then he also spoke about vairagya ragopadibhyam. Vairagya raga. So there is attachment and there is detachment. Right? Twofold divisions described by the contraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. So this is the theme of ashramas. Brahmachari is there. He is trained. A brahmachari is trained that this world, material world is full of difficulties and all that, and it's a temporary in nature, all that. Material world is actually the home of a living being, is not actually the home of the living being, and conditioned soul in this material bondage is suffering here. So all this kind of philosophical knowledge which leads him to detachment and knowledge, that kind of training is given to a brahmachari. Right? So with that training, if the brahmachari is sufficiently inspired to be detached, then he can go on to the sannyasashram. If he is not sufficiently detached, then he will go to the varanashram, go to the grihastashram. Right? So grihastashram is for the people who don't have the same spirit of detachment as a sannyasi. So brahmachari ashram is the training ground for both the attached and the detached. If you are in the attached line, grihastha. If you are in the detached line, sannyasi. So all these four ashramas need not be taken up sequentially by everyone. That is the point that Prabhupada makes, and Chakravarti Pada also in the purport. That is about the vairagya ragopadibhyam. That is about ashram. About varanas, Prabhupada explains in great detail. So the purpose of the whole varanashram system is to accelerate the transcendental qualities of the person, to help gradually realize the spiritual identity and free him from material bondage, like that. So Bhishmadeva also gave 9 preliminary qualifications of a civilized human being. Bhishmadeva, you can see in the purport, not to become angry, not to lie, to forgive, all that. So Prabhupada also explains in detail about different varanas, how sense control and learning, these are all required for brahmanas, and kshatriyas should give charity, they should not take charity. Right? They should also be well versed in Shastra. Kshatriyas also should be well versed in Shastra, but they cannot take the teaching profession, like that. They should take care of the defense. So Arjuna was inclined to be non-violent. So Krishna didn't encourage that. So Kshatriya should not be overwhelmed with the feelings of non-violence. Prabhupada says nonsensical or nuisensical non-violence. Right, ahimsa. That should not be the mood of a kshatriya. If required to punish, he should take up violence. And Prabhupada also comments on the modern administrators, politicians. So nowadays rulers don't go to war field and fight. They are like cowards sitting in their cabins and instructing the poor soldiers to go and fight. That is not the ideal way of leading a kshatriya life. Ruler means he should be standing in front, and all the Praja should be protected. War is conducted far away from the normal living of the citizens, and then they will fight somewhere, and the ruler will stand in front. So that's how it is. It's not like the modern politicians proposes. Then Vaishyas are supposed to do cow protection. Sudras, they're less intelligent, they should not be given independence, and they should not store money. If they store money, they will use for wealth, wine and women only. So they should not be given that, like that. That is about ashramas and varanas, which is explained by Bhishma. Then 27, many other dharmas. Varanashram dharma, one. Second, dana dharman, raja dharman, moksha dharman, vibhagasya, sri dharman, bhagavad dharman, samasa vyasa yogata. So one is dana dharma first. Okay. To my knowledge, Prabhu, the Chakravyuha knowledge Yudhishthira Maharaj was not having. Abhimanyu had at least that much knowledge to enter. In an emergency case, a small boy is also encouraged so. But he was not staying behind. Definitely not like the modern politicians who never see the war field. Right? But he was participating in the fight to whatever extent he may be in. The main warriors there are Bhima and Arjuna, so they are taking up the main role. But to my understanding, Prabhupada is highlighting this point of king never visiting a war field and king visiting a war field in the olden times. Then Raja Dharma, no, Dana Dharma, first is Dana Dharma. So brahmacharis, earlier we discussed about ashrama system, right? Brahmacharis, he gives the basic training of being detached. So brahmacharis are taught to recognize the proprietorship of Krishna over everything that we see. Krishna is the ultimate proprietor, right? And we are given certain facilities, material resources and some energy, some skills. So all this should be utilized in the service of that universal proprietor. So that is the point. That is the Dana Dharma. So the the key concept of Dana Dharma is utilizing everything in Krishna's service. That is the act of charity. Just like Prabhupada gives a nice analogy. Rivers are there. Rivers get water from the sea only through the medium of clouds. And rivers flow towards the sea. So similarly, we get all powers and strength from Krishna and we utilize all of them in Krishna's service. So that kind of analogy Prabhupada gives. So when such our energies are utilized in such a way through the medium of charity, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjihoti dadashiyat. So if we do leak that in this way, then the contamination of material existence will not touch us. We will be fit to be free from material life by serving Krishna. That is about Dana Dharma. Raja Dharma. Raja Dharma also, Prabhupada again elaborates. Earlier Kshatriyas, whatever he mentioned in the previous purport, he writes here. So king is an ideal and general people follow him. So king should exhibit ideal character. If he is not having an ideal character, citizens who are following him are also misled. That is the main concern of the sages when Vena was ruling. In the fourth canto, we will hear about Vena. Right? Before Prithu, in that Dhrumara's descendant, Vena comes. He's a bad king because his mother had a bad character. So sages were concerned about him and they went to suggest him. And he gave another lecture which says that I am the king, you should follow me. So he said like that, this fellow is not fit to be a king, let's kill him. Sages killed him only. So like that. So, and see again, Raja Dharma. King is not supposed to be merciful to dacoits. He has the right to claim 1/4 of citizens' money, whatever earnings are there, citizens, 1/4 of it king can collect in the form of tax, and in return to it, he should give him all protection. Second point, our king should protect all the tapasvis, all the devotees, unalloyed devotees. They should be given sufficient facilities and protection because they are doing a great service of inspiring the whole community. Right, with spiritual knowledge. And king also is aware that Krishna never tolerates any insult to his unalloyed devotees. So king is supposed to be aware of that also. Then, taxing process is not for squandering, but for strengthening the reserve fund. Then moksha dharma, Prabhupada very elaborately explains this. So conquering lust, anger, unlawful desires, bewilderment, all this, will be a part of our attaining salvation. And how to conquer different, how to conquer or avoid different kinds of anarthas, Prabhupada gives. Right? To conquer anger, one has to learn to forgive. To conquer sleep, one has to have spiritual culture. To conquer desires and avarice, one has to tolerate. So like that, a big list is given. Around 10 items are there, you can read. then stri dharma. So stri dharma means, Prabhupada writes, women are the power of inspiration for men. So once in a prerana lecture somebody asked His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, some student, he was asking, what about behind every man's success there is a woman? So brahmacharis and sannyasis, they don't have a woman behind. So how will they attain success? What is the secret behind their success? Maharaj said, Radharani. So women are powerful than men, Prabhupada says. He gives the example of Cleopatra. Then, so that such powerful women are controlled by shyness. We learn more of this in 10th chapter. Anyonyam asit sanjalpa uttama shloka chetasam kauravendra purastrinam sarva shruti manohara. When Krishna was departing, he was going to Hastinapur. All the ladies of Hastinapur palace didn't immediately come towards Krishna and then see him off or say send him off. They went on the rooftops of the palaces and from there they are watching with great shy. Prabhupada elaborates a lot on woman's shyness. It is the natural gift of woman, and that shyness will block the unrestricted mixing between man and woman. Right? That is the culture. When that shyness is lost, this woman, who are very powerful, can create havoc in the society. And what kind of havoc is that? Varnashankara. That is the Stri Dharma. So Stri Dharma main theme is shyness, like that. Then last is Bhagavad Dharma. It's mentioned last to indicate its superiority over all other dharmas. Dana Dharma, Moksha Dharma, Stri Dharma, what other dharmas are there? Raja Dharma. So Bhagavad Dharma is topmost. It is the process of pleasing God. One may be strictly following Raja Dharma or strictly following Dana Dharma and other things. If he doesn't have an intention to please the Lord, which is Bhagavad Dharma, so then it's not of that quality. So we are all eternal servants of Lord, and when we forget this essential part of our nature, we are put into material conditions of life. Prabhupada suggests that grihasthas can worship deity at home. That is their Bhagavad Dharma. And we worship deities in temple. That is our Bhagavad Dharma. Then 28. Dharmartha kama mokshamscha sahopayan yatha mune nanakhyane hitaheshu varnayam asatattvavit. So Bhishma is himself, he is a tattvavit, he is the knower of truth. So he could speak on so many dharmas, Raja Dharma, Moksha Dharma, all that. And he didn't just speak some principles, but he strengthened what he spoke by quoting Purana Itihasan, what is it? Itihasa, by quoting historical narrations also, Akhyana Itihasa, historical narrations also. Right? He strengthened all these points. Now, Prabhupada brings out an interesting point here, that all these Vedic histories, they are all factual narrations, but sometimes or many times we may not see them in a chronological order. Right? They may not be seen. Now, here in first canto, we see Krishna coming in front of Bhishmadev, 120, 125 year old man. And in 10th canto, we will see him as a small boy. So it may not be in chronological order, right? So at this point of time in the history, this happened. So next day or next year, this happened. It's not chronological. But Prabhupada says, more than understanding this, the chronological order, we are more concerned with their instructive purpose. We are more concerned with the lessons that these historical personalities and other pastimes are teaching us. Not when did they happen, in which manvantara it happened, in which AD, in which BC. That is not of so much importance. What is more important is, definitely if one has, if it is required, and
there is no harm in knowing many details.
But more important is to learn the lessons and try to apply those lessons here. What Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us. Chakchatraketu, Vritrasur, Kunti, Pandavas, Bhishma. What all we can learn. Even though they are not in order by our limited range of understanding. So, like that.
Yesterday I was reading this that on the cover page of this Vedic Cosmology, some book is there. So, Prabhupada quote is there. So, as far as the details of universe structure are concerned, better you refer only Bhagavatam. Be satisfied with what Sukadeva Goswami has said. Okay? Don't be too eager to learn so much. Anyways, you are not going to go there. Prabhupada is saying like that. So, if one is instructed to do so, one should do it. But as Prabhupada says here, it is more important is instructive lessons. Then, from 29th verse onwards, the rest of the chapter describes his final moments and Bhishma Dev's prayers. So at this point, after describing so many dharmas, this came. The auspicious time for departure of Bhishma Dev came. This is 29. Dharmam pravradastasya sakala pratyupastita no yo yoginas chandamrityor vanchitas tatrayana tutrayana. So these expert mystics, they can leave their body whenever they want. They can go to the whichever planet they want. Right? That is the perfection of yoga, Prabhupada says. He quotes 8.24 that series. So here Bhishma Dev prepared himself to quit the body, the right muhurta that came, and he is in the presence of pure souls like Pandavas. And personality of Godhead, Krishna is directly present and many sages are present. So he is preparing himself to leave his body in few moments. So what is he doing before leaving his body? 30th verse. Tadopasamhritya gira sahasranir vimukta sangam mana adi purushe krishnela satpitapate chaturbhuje purastite milita drig vyadhairayat. So Bhishma Dev's previous absorptions was this, fighting thousands of battles, protecting thousands of men, speaking different subject matters, right? But now there is a sudden change we observe in Bhishma. At the final moments, he is just focusing on Krishna only. Mahaprabhu tells, I think Raghunath Das Goswami, you be in household life, but just like a woman who has a paramour serves the husband nicely, but her thoughts are with the paramour. So similarly, Bhishma may be apparently leading so many responsibilities here, thousands of battles and other things, but he has his Krishna consciousness so thoroughly. At the end of the moment, he is able to focus on all that. The subject matter that attracts the dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. So at the end of his life, he is focusing on Krishna's form as Parthasarathi. So he will attain the planet of Parthasarathi. So that is the moment. So Prabhupada gives in the purport 8.5, that whole series. Yam yam vabhisvaran bhavam, antakale chamameva, all that. Some around 11 slokas he quotes. Right. So Bhishma, being a pure devotee, wanted to see Krishna with open eyes for a long time out of spontaneous love.
without any concern for yogic principles. In yogic principles, you have to close your eyes, sit your state, and all those things are there. But Bhishma just, he opens his eyes, he just wanted to see the darshan of Krishna. He has no much regard for yogic principles. Simple bhakti yoga is enough to bring about perfection.
That is the conclusion.
Prabhupada says. 31. Vishuddhaya dharanaya hata shubhas. Tadikshayaiva sugata yudhasrama. Nivritta sarvendriya vritti vibhramas. Tushtvajanyan. Tushtavajanyam visrijanjanardhanam. So the effect of the pure meditation on Krishna is freedom from any material inauspiciousness, bodily pains, arrow wounds. He became oblivious to all that. Right. So Prabhupada gives a nice analogy that Krishna is like sun. Wherever there is sun, there is no darkness. So similarly, here Bhishma is absorbed in Krishna. So he became completely transcendental to all external activities of his senses or bodily, physical pain, everything. So, and Bhishma is about to enter into a deep state of prayers. So from 32 onwards, he prays to Krishna. 11:20. Should we take a small break? We'll take a little break, 5 minutes, then we'll continue prayers. Svasukham upagate kvachid vihartum prakritim upeyushi yadbhava pravaha. So far I am absorbed in so many other subject matters. So now let me invest my thinking, feeling, willing, everything in Krishna. So who is that Krishna? What is his nature? Sattvata Pungave. Then Vibhumni, second line. Bhagavati Sattvati Pungave. He is the leader of his devotees. Krishna is the leader of his devotees. Sattvatas are leader. Sattvatas are devotees. Then Sattvata Pungave. Then Vibhu, he is all powerful. So such a powerful Lord, let me just think about him only at this point. So this person, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world. Although from him only the material world is created. So Krishna is there in the spiritual world, and from him, from the expansion of his expansion of his expansions, Mahavishnu is emanating so many material universes. And that Krishna, who is the source of Mahavishnu, is the source of all Purushavataras. So he is entering into one of them. Aham eva asam eva agre. Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So he is there outside. He is entering into this. So this is coming from him only. And now after this manifestation of this, he is entering into that. So now, once he enters into that and acts like a normal human being, some people misunderstand him. That is this point of Muda, 9.11. Avadananti ma Muda, manushintanu masrita. So, but devotees are conscious of this fact that he is the source of all cosmic manifestation. Whoever is there in the proper line of learning from authorities know, are aware of Krishna's supremacy over all the creation, right? Even the ladies of Hastinapura also know this.
Prabhupada says these ladies of Hastinapura, they don't know, they are not formal students of Vedas. They didn't go to Gurukul and then learn so much. They have heard some bona fide authorities discussing it. So they are aware, they are conscious of the supreme position of Krishna. So they glorify him as the creator, as the source of the entire cosmic manifestation, like that.
So now, here Bhishma is using these two words to describe Krishna, one as Satvata Pongavai. So Prabhupada says, Krishna is the leader of not only devotees, he is the leader of all living entities. Right? And he reciprocates according to the mentality of living entity. He is leader of devotees, he is leader of non-devotees also. He is Satvata Pongave, he is Asatvata Pongave also. Right? He is the leader of everyone, but his reciprocation is according to the approach of the person. So in case of devotees, Lord bestows devotional service on his pure devotees, Prabhupada says. Why? Pure devotees are free from all desires. What they desire is only Krishna's service, nothing else. They just want to hear about Krishna, they just want to serve Krishna. Right? Therefore, they are called Satvatas. Example is Bhishmadev. Unless one is purified of all desires, Lord does not become their leader. Right? By default, he is the leader of every living entity, but he specifically chooses leadership of Satvatas. Like that. So Lord guides a how does he reciprocate with such Satvatas? Lord guides a sincere devotee from within.
Guidance on what? To go back to Godhead, not to do sense gratification.
Right? So the Lord desires association of his pure devotees. Lord desires their association.
Mahaprabhu reveals several times in Chaitanya Charitamrita how he is desirous of associating with so many devotees.
And for them only Lord descends and enlivens them.
As we discussed some time back, the purpose of Krishna's descent is, the external purpose is to establish dharma, paritrayana, sadhuna, vinasya, dushkritam, those are all there. They are all right reasons, which we can relate to. But the internal reason is, prema rasa aswadan raga marga bhakti pracharan. Kaviraj Goswami says, he wants to relish the reciprocation with his pure devotees. And by doing so, he wants to advertise to all the people, this is how it is. This is how I reciprocate with my devotees. That is raga marga pracharan. So that is how Krishna acts as the leader of devotees.
And Krishna is the leader of an ordinary man also, even though he is not a devotee. But how is he the leader of them?
He witnesses their actions. He sanctions their desires and he permits them. Right? He is a neutral party, just witnessing and sanctioning, saying, yes, okay, do this, do that. If you want to do this, okay, do this. Devotee says, I want to serve you. Okay, I'll give you all enlightenment to serve.
Like that. So, non-devotees, because they don't take any instructions from Krishna, Krishna will not instruct them from within. He remains silent. He just witnesses and sanctions. Right? In the case of devotees, they want to serve him, he guides them on the path back to Godhead. So, why this is so? Is he partial? No, he is reciprocal, simple. But he could have inspired the ordinary man who may not be willing to serve also. He can create a desire in them also to serve him. Right? He can force them. But Krishna doesn't want any forced love. Krishna doesn't like forced love. Devamrita Maharaj explains in his Bhakti Bhava retreat. If someone is forced to offer us some service, we are not so comfortable accepting that service. Right? If he's very much willing to, you know, serve us or, you know, give us some favor, right? Then we are happy, we become grateful to him. If he sense that he is forced to serve me, then any sane person is not willing to accept such a service. So how can you offer such a third class service to Krishna? Like that, forced service. Krishna never accepts, doesn't want any forced service. He doesn't interfere with the minute independence that a living entity has. We possess nothing. We don't have anything. So Prabhupada writes in the third kind of purport that someone may leave a palace and then go into the forest. You can't call him a renunciant.
right? Normal courts, we may just address him as a renunciant, but where is renunciation? The palace belongs to Krishna, the forest belongs to Krishna. You just changed your residence from one place to another place, both belong to Krishna only. How can you be glorified of being a renunciant just by doing that act? If you belong, if you have something and if you give that up, then you can be called a renunciant. So that is not renunciation, Prabhupada says. What we have is the minute independence, our false ego, our free will. Right? If we renounce that to please Krishna, then that is called renunciation. Right? So Krishna will never interfere with this possession. We possess nothing. All we possess is this minute free will. Right? Krishna will never interfere with that free will. That is the only possession that we have complete control upon. We don't have any other possession. Right? So that possession Krishna will completely leave it to us. Using that free will, that minute independence, if we want to surrender to Krishna, then he will guide us. So till we do that, till we make a conscious decision, he may arrange that, he may inspire devotees to inspire us. Right? He may make so many arrangements, but he will not force you to surrender your free will to Krishna. Like that. So he remains silent. He just gives commentary. Right? He just witnesses. He maintains the record only. So that is about Sattvata Pungava. Then next word is Vibhu. Krishna is all powerful. So although he is Vibhu, although he is all powerful, he is remaining a Sattvata Pungava only. Leader of devotees only. He is leader of everyone. But all the followers of him are not of the same category. Some are devotees, some are non-devotees. Right? He is all powerful. And one aspect of all being all powerful is Lord descends out of his own free will. So we transmigrate from one body to another body out of, because we are forced to do so. Because depending on our actions, karmana devanetrena, right? Some arrangement is there where if we do certain actions, we will reach certain destinations. Krishna is not like that. He is Vibhu. He is all powerful. When he descends out of his own free will. Swamayaya. So now Chakravartipad adds a nice point that such a merciful master, such Sattvata Pungava, such Vibhu, Lord, came to me to see me at the time of death. So I must give him a gift. So because he came to me, when I am about to leave my body, I will give him a gift. Give a gift. What kind of gift is he giving? I don't have anything. And another point is, nothing is suitable to offer him in this abode of possessiveness and ego. This material world is an abode of possessiveness and ego. So, what offering can we make out of it and give him? All I can give him is my thoughts. Right? All I can give him is my thoughts. So, Bhishma Dev is offering his thoughts to Krishna. So, what is the nature of the thoughts? So, he reveals in the next verse, 33rd verse.
Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam ravikara gauravara ambaram dadhane vapur alaka kulavritananabjam vijaya sakheratir astumena dvaya.
So Bhishma is meditating on Lord's attractive features, beauty. So this beauty is very important aspect for us, because we are personalists. The person means he has a form. And if he is God, he has a beautiful form, not an ordinary form. So all these descriptions of beauty that come in various cantos, first canto there is a lot of beauty description, 10th and 11th chapters we hear more. Then second canto there is a lot. Third canto, so much beauty when Brahmaji sees Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Fourth canto, Rudragit, Shiva glorifies Lord's beauty. Then fifth canto also somewhere it comes. I think Jambudivya prayer somewhere. So Lord's beauty is a very important thing, because we are personalists, we are not impersonalists, we believe that he is a person and he has a beauty, so we meditate. So many devotees meditate on his beauty. So Lord's transcendental beauty has nothing to do with anything materially created. Why? Because he descends with his internal potency. So his blood, his body is not like blood, bones, urine, stool made of like our elements. He is spiritual body. So his attractive features attract everyone in the three worlds and are present nowhere else. Prabhupada writes, they attract everyone, irrespective of whether anyone he may be, and they are nowhere else also. So they are such a unique quality. So everyone has this propensity to get attracted to something. But the right object we should be attracted to is, our eyes should be attracted to is Krishna's form. Right? Now Prabhupada in the Rudra Gita purports, Lord Shiva begins his prayers by Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Anyone knows the beginning of that verse? Darshanam no didrikshunam dehi bhagavat architam rupam priyatamam swanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. Right? So darshanam no didrikshunam, or Shiva is desiring, please give the darshan of that form. Rupam priyatamam swanam, which is so dear to all your devotees. Right? Then it is not only dear to all the devotees, it is sarva saundarya sangraham. It is the collection of all beauty. There is a lot of beauty in the spiritual world, definitely. And there is a lot of beauty in the material world also. Right? So the essence of all the beauty, the source of all that beauty, right? And the more superior to all that beauty is Krishna's beauty. It is the collection of all beauty. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. That is Krishna's form. I want to see that kind of form, he says. And Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport there, that Krishna's beauty is not just his form. Krishna's beauty is very much seen in this, evident in this episode also. Another aspect of Krishna's beauty is giving credit to his devotees. He orchestrated the entire Kurukshetra war. He protected Arjuna from so many onslaughts, right? But he gave the whole credit of Kurukshetra war to Arjuna. He made him the hero. And Prabhupada also says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted this movement, but all the credit of spreading this Krishna consciousness movement is going to the followers of Mahaprabhu. So giving credit to his devotees is an important aspect of Krishna's beauty. That's why he is called Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Prabhupada explains nicely. So here also in this theme, Krishna is giving so much credit to Bhishma, right? As the enlightened source of enlightenment to Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is not enlightened by our Vyasa and Krishna also. And here in this verse, 33rd verse, Vijaya Sakhe Ratir Astume, or Bhishma is saying, Vijaya Sakhe. So Krishna is addressed as Vijaya Sakhe by Bhishma Dev here. Why? Because Vijaya means conqueror. Who conquered in the Kurukshetra battle? Arjuna. Vijaya Sakhe. Krishna is the friend of Arjuna. Right? So Krishna may have had so many qualifications and designations, right? Qualities, attributes, features. Forgetting all that, Bhishma is addressing him as Vijaya Sakhe. He is the conqueror and he is his friend. So Arjuna is an important element in Bhishma's relation with Krishna. Right? And this, because his friend is present, this Vijaya became Vijaya. Arjuna became conqueror. Then Bhishma, in the rasa of this Virya Rasa, he is meditating on the Lord's form in the battlefield. So he is addressing him as Vijaya Sakhe. So if he is only friend of Arjuna, that has some explanation. He will address like that also. So Vijaya specifically means Arjuna is addressed as Vijaya because he is conqueror. Means it's referring to battlefield. Right? Hemrup Chaitanya Prabhu is working in opt. If you identify yourself with your service, then the focus shifts to your service. So similarly, Vijaya means focus is shifting to battlefield. So now Krishna is the source of that victory.
So, and that also reveals our Bhishma's attachment to Krishna's form on the battlefield, not so much in anywhere else, sitting in Dwarka Palace. A genuine relation of living entity with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of five rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree. Now, Vijaya is a conqueror. It was possible because of the presence of Krishna. So that is the meaning. And it also reveals Bhishma's attachment to Krishna's form on the battlefield. Then, 33-34. Here in the 33rd verse, our Bhishma is speaking about the locks of hair also of Krishna, right? Although Krishna is on the battlefield, the sweetness of his beauty is not lost. You, on the battlefield, there is sudden passion, and if you you see as a warrior mood only, the sweetness aspect is quite covered, although the person himself is sweet. But he is sweet. So he again describes more details of Krishna's form as a charioteer.
Sapadi sakhi vacho nisham yamadhye. Yudhitvaragarajo vidhum ravishvak. Kachalulitasravyami alankritasya. Mamanishitasharair vidhidyamanam. Tvachi vilasat kavachestu Krishna Atma.
So for Bhishma, the most beautiful form of Krishna is on the battlefield. Because he is in that rasa, he will appreciate that form more. Right? And another point is, Krishna is directly standing in front of Bhishma, right? Not as a charioteer. He is standing normal, the war is over. But Bhishma is remembering Krishna's form as charioteer. All this, he is not asking Krishna, you. They are not in second person. They had all these prayers. So that reveals Bhishma's attachment to Partha Sarathi form. Right? Like that. He is relishing that form more. So he is standing right in front. He is not addressing him to him. He is meditating on that form of Partha Sarathi and then
putting the whole thing in second, not in second person.
So the devotees are definitely attached to specific forms which has certain ambience. They may have certain associates.
So like that.
So other forms may be relished by other devotees, and there could be different gradations in those forms also. But this particular devotee is attached to this form only.
Like that.
That's why this Brahmaji prays in third canto, 3.9. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrutsaroja asse srutekshita patho nanunatha pumsam yadyad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. Yadyad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti. Whatever forms that devotees like and meditate upon and worship, so Krishna will reveal those forms to them. Right? He will reciprocate like that. So it is somewhere said that Krishna can manifest a unique form to reciprocate with one devotee also. Right? That is the extent of mercy that Krishna wants to show. There are innumerable living entities. So Krishna has the capacity to manifest innumerable forms to satisfy the desires or worship, to receive the worship of those innumerable devotees also. Yadya dhyada urugaya vibhavayanti tattat vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya. With love, right? Out of anugraha towards the devotee, he will reveal all those forms. Right? So here Bhishma's favorite form is with Partha Sakha.
and Lord accepts all kind of service. Here Bhishma is mentioning that he is tormented by my sharp arrows, right? How can you just throw arrows on the Supreme Lord, right? But Bhishma is in that mood. So Prabhupada says that Bhishma's throwing of arrows is like our doing pushabhishek, right? We throwing flowers on the deities, right? So throwing flowers is compared to throwing of arrows. So now Prabhupada also says that Bhishma, in one sense, is repenting for his actions. Bhishma is repenting that I pierced him with arrows. So his actions against the Lord on the battlefield, Bhishma is recollecting them and repenting for it. But the reality is, Krishna doesn't have a material body. Apparently, he is making a show of oozing some blood or becoming wounded by his arrows. But his body is all spiritual. Actually, those arrows are not hurting Krishna. Right? Somewhere in the next purports, maybe. Chakravartipad gives this nice explanation. What's happening between Bhishma and Krishna is what? It's a very esoteric example. So just like a lover bites the beloved, right, in the game of the love. So similarly, Bhishma is wounding our Krishna. That is also love. It's like a transcendental romance on the battlefield, right, happening. Lord comes as one of the living entities to bewilder the atheists. So now Krishna is making a show of oozing blood or anything like that, wounded. It's just to bewilder the atheists, right? So let them think that I am an ordinary man. But my devotees, they will think, even though they may be seeing that I am wounded or anything, doing charity business, still they will not minimize my position. They will be established in the knowledge of my supremacy or everything. So Chakravartipad says Krishna's skin was not really pierced. Arrows slightly pierced the armor. So that is what Chakravartipad says. Then, so Bhishma's repentance is one aspect of this purport. Another aspect is Lord accepts all kinds of service, even in Virirasa. Third aspect is Lord's all-merciful attitude. So now, why Lord's merciful attitude is highlighted here? Bhishma is saying that I am piercing him with arrows, I am wounding him with arrows. In spite of being wounded by Bhishma's arrows, Krishna is not leaving the chariot because he wants to protect Arjuna. Right? If Krishna leaves the chariot, Arjuna, who will protect him? Right? Just because Bhishma is piercing me, I cannot leave my friend Arjuna. So that shows Lord's all-merciful attitude. Here, in this purport only. Wounds are compared to the bites of a fiancé. Right. Now, Bhishma Dev is highlighting this point. The intention is, one should not think that I, even overcome by the mood of fighting with Krishna, was ever devoid of prema. So I am relishing his beauty as a Parthasarathi, right? So I may be fighting and wounding Krishna's body, but that doesn't mean I don't have love for him. I'm not doing out of envy. I love him so much, right? He's revealing all this by meditating on that form again. Right? Then, because everything in material world is quantitatively, some other things. Basically, this whole fighting business between Krishna and Bhishma or Arjuna is not mundane, but it's a transcendental exchange. Earlier in the first purport, first 2-3 verses we were discussing, the tribulations experienced by a devotee is bhava of the devotee. Similarly, the fighting exchanged by these two personalities here is also transcendental exchange of emotion, of viri rasa. Then 35. Sapadi sakhi vacho nishamya madhye nijaparayor balayor atham niveshya sthitavati para sainikair akshna hritavati partha sakhe ratir mamastu. So again, here he is saying he must Partha Sakhe. Earlier Vijaya Sakhe. Later he will say Partha Sakha, Partha Sarathi. So all those things. So one aspect of this verse is, so Bhishma is meditating on his mercy towards his devotee and affection towards his devotee.
How he is the order carrier of Arjuna. He took up the role of order carrier of Arjuna. Means Bhima, who is that? Arjuna was in the chariot. He is driving the chariot. Whatever he says, he has to follow. So out of his mercy towards his pure devotee, he is taking up that role. So Lord, because he is the supreme being, he can never be the order carrier or order supplier of anyone. But still he takes up that role out of affection for his devotee. Sometimes. Just like father is pleased to serve a child. Papa, you get that. Give me that doll. So he'll give like that, something like that. So in Uddhava, he meditates on Krishna in third canto. He thinks like Krishna is carrying out the orders of Ugrasena. This is bewildering me. So Uddhava thinks like that. Then, now Lord's relation with this Arjuna as an order carrier may indicate his partiality towards Arjuna. Right? It could indicate like that. No, not like that. Bhishma Dev says, Lord's quality of distributing mercy to everyone. Not only Arjuna, not only Pandavas, even to me, even to all the soldiers also. Right? What is written in this verse? Sthitavati para sainika ayur akshna. Sainika. Even towards the sainikas also, he is very merciful. Right? How is he merciful? He shortened the lifespan of the all the soldiers. How is he merciful to them? He is giving them liberation. By shortening their lifespans, he is giving them an opportunity to leave their bodies seeing Krishna. What else could be a better opportunity? Prabhupada says, dying on the battlefield in Kurukshetra war is better than dying in some accident or anywhere else. Dying on the deathbed. Like that. So these people are all liberated. Right? They got their swarupas. So Lord does not go wrong in any circumstance because he is absolute. He is all good at all times. Right? In the third canto, Uddhava says, Tathaiva chanye naralokavira ya ahate krishna mukharavindam netraih pibanto nayanabhiravam parthastraputram bhayamasudatte. Right? Padamapuraste. So, all these soldiers on the battlefield, they are tathaiva chanye naraloka veera ye ahate krishna mukharavindam. On the battlefield they are seeing the lotus face of Krishna. Krishna mukharavindam netraih pibhanto nayanabhiramam. With great relish they are drinking the nectar of Krishna's form. Parthastra putram padamapuraste. And Arjuna is killing them in that position. Then padamapuraste, they will receive the spiritual world. Right? That is the mercy Krishna is showing on these soldiers also. So Krishna is not partial. Right? He is distributing his mercy nicely. Yavyavahita pratana mukham niriksya svajanavadhad vimukhasya dosha buddhya kumatim aharad atma vidyayayas charanaratir paramasya tasya mestu. When Arjuna was seemingly polluted by ignorance upon observing the soldiers and commanders before him on the battlefield, the Lord eradicated his ignorance by delivering transcendental knowledge. May his lotus feet always remain the object of my attraction. So here Bhishma is meditating on Krishna as the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. Where? On the battlefield. So Bhishma is attached to the battlefield form of Krishna. Right? All the gopis, they saw Krishna in Kurukshetra when they came for that solar eclipse or whatever. So they couldn't appreciate that form of Krishna. So different devotees have attachment to different forms of Krishna. Right? The whole Rath Yatra that we celebrated yesterday is the mood of gopis to take away Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. So they need certain ambience. Jagannath Yatra. They need certain ambience. So he needs certain ambience. Or Bhishma.
So now Bhishma is saying, Prabhupada says, the actual system of fighting is, this commander is not like cowards like modern politicians. They will stand in front of the armies and place the fighting away from civil residential quarters. Like that. Now, another point is, Arjuna lost his intelligence. He was bewildered and Krishna enlightened him with Bhagavad Gita. But Arjuna's loss of intelligence was caused by Krishna only. How can the eternal associate, who is an incarnation of Nara, be bewildered on the battlefield? So Krishna caused that bewilderment. Just like Krishna caused the bewilderment of Yudhishthira Maharaj here, and Bhishma is instructing him. And Krishna caused that awkward situation to Parikshit Maharaj, so that Sukadeva Goswami can speak Bhagavatam. So Krishna has put Arjuna into bewilderment so that he can speak Bhagavad Gita for benefit of everyone. Right? So for what? Atma Vidyaya. The science of Atma Vidya. To reveal that. So now it is said that Krishna elevates the devotee to a higher position than his own. Right? So Krishna saw that directly. So now the sweetest part of the whole prayers is coming up in from the 37th and 38th verses. Svanigamam apahayamat pratignam ritamadhikritam avaplutorathastha dhritaratha charano bhayat chaladgur harir ivahantum ibham gatottariya. He dropped his Uttariya also. The 37, 38 both are same, like connected. Sita Vishikha Hato Visirna Damsha Kshataja Pariplata Atata Yinome Prasabham Abhisarasara Madvadartham Sabhavatume Bhagavan Gatir Mukunda. So, Prabhupada raised in 37th purport that this mood of the battle of Kurukshetra, it is based on military principles and also with some sporting spirit. Right? So, basically Krishna himself created a situation of apparent defeat or death of Arjuna by Bhishma's arrows. This whole incident is, Prabhupada writes, everyone knows also, still we will discuss. That Duryodhana is blaming Bhishma. Right? You are not killing Pandavas out of your affection. So Bhishma said, okay, with these arrows I will kill them tomorrow. So when Bhishma takes a vow, then Krishna knows how powerful that is. So Krishna suggested Arjuna, and Arjuna with some trick, he went and took the arrows from Duryodhana. And Bhishma came to know that. I vowed to kill Pandavas with these arrows, and you have taken away those arrows. So you have to break your vow. Because you became an obstacle to fulfill my vow, you have to break your vow. What is Krishna's vow? He will not lift any weapon on the battlefield. Right? So, the next day, or Bhishma was fighting so valiantly, Arjuna was on the verge of defeat or death or whatever. Then, just to protect his devotee Arjuna, second thing, to fulfill the desire of Bhishma, that Krishna has to break his promise, so Krishna took up that wheel and then attacked towards Arjuna. Right? That is Krishna's eagerness to accept defeat from his devotee, who is Bhishma. Bhishma said, tomorrow Krishna has to break his vow, otherwise I'll kill them. I'll kill Arjuna, whatever. He was fighting like that. So Krishna had to break his vow just to satisfy Bhishma. So
So satisfaction between Lord and devotee can happen on different levels. On the Virya-rasa level, this is the kind of reciprocation happening. And Krishna was running towards Bhishma with the chariot wheel. Arjuna had to stop him. Still he is not stopping, because he is so eager, as if he wants to kill Bhishma. He was just running towards Bhishma. But that is his eagerness to satisfy Bhishma, not to kill Bhishma. Like that. But as if killing, madvadartham, to kill me, you are running towards me. And sabhavatu mehe Bhagavan Gatir Mukunda, let that Lord be my destination. Right? He is so great Lord, he came to kill me with such great anger. Even Arjuna could not control him, restrain his anger. So I meditate on him. That is the devotional service in Virya Rasa. Then, different rasas have different flavors. Mother Yashoda chastises Krishna. How can someone, a devotee, chastise God? Right? That is a Vatsalya Rasa. Like that. The Prabhupada gives the whole story here, the whole pastime. The astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. Bhishma and Krishna are on the opposite sides. Bhishma is playing the role of an enemy. Role of an enemy, not actually inimical towards him. But even in 10th canto we see Jambavan. Jambavan is fighting with Krishna. Right? Jambavan actually wanted to... he didn't get a proper fight. So he told Ram, my fighting spirit is not satisfied just by fighting in the war of Rama and Ravana and all this. They are like insignificant. I can just circle you 23 times when you exhibit your Trivikrama form. That is my potency. How can this small insignificant fight can satisfy me? Then to fulfill his desire, Krishna came. And Krishna wanted to fulfill his desire also. So Krishna killed Kovalaya, Pida, Chanura, Mushtik and not Chanura, Mushtik, one of them, and Kamsa and some other demons. But he didn't get that punch, or he was not satisfied with that fighting. So Krishna wanted to fight with Jambavan. Jambavan is the greatest warrior. Even to satisfy Krishna in fighting also, he needs a devotee. Right? So Krishna went to Jambavan and they started fighting with each other. 28 days they fought with each other. Then Krishna was satisfied. When Krishna was satisfied with the fighting of Jambavan, then it was revealed to Jambavan that Krishna was none other than Ram. So that is how the Virya Rasa happens. They are in Dasarasa predominantly, but Virya is a prominent aspect of all these warriors. The all spiritual body cannot be wounded. This we discussed already. Then 39. Here only Prabhupada is writing. He proceeded towards Bhishma Deva as a lover goes to a lover, without caring for hindrances. Arjuna was a hindrance in Krishna's running towards Bhishma. Right, but Krishna didn't care. He was just running. Right? That is like a lover going to the beloved. Then 39. Vijayaratha kutumba atatotre dhritahaya rasmini tat shriyekshaniye bhagavati radir astume mumurshur yamiha niriksha hata gata swarupam. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with the right hand, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kuru contained their original forms of
Arjuna. So Bhishma is concentrating on this form, with Krishna holding whip in his right hand, holding the reins of the chariot, horses, controlling the horse with his left hand, right, sitting on the chariot driver's seat. Right, he is meditating on that form. So a pure devotee of the Lord constantly sees the presence of the Lord within himself because of his being transcendentally related by loving service. So Prabhupada gives a distinction between the concentration or focus or meditation of an ordinary mystic yogi
and a pure devotee.
A yogi has a mechanical process,
but pure devotee's meditation or concentration is out of natural love and affection.
Like that. So this devotee attains samadhi more easily by constant remembrance of Lord's personal feature. So Bhishma, being a pure devotee and military marshal, constantly remember the Lord's eternal feature as Partha Sarathi. Means these pastimes of Krishna, not only the sweet pastimes of Krishna are eternal,
even the fighting pastimes of Krishna are also eternal. The fight is over, Kurukshetra war is over, but still he is meditating on that form only. Means that form is existing.
Right? So eternality of Lord's pastimes in all universes is compared to the clock hand moving from one point to another.
This pastime may have ended in this universe at this point. In some other universe, this pastime is being enacted somewhere. Like that. And Bhishma is eager to take, again the role of enemy of Krishna to see that form of Krishna. Partha Sarathi form of Krishna.
Right? So that's how he relished that Partha Sarathi form more.
Actually, Bhishma relished it more than Arjuna. Arjuna was behind Partha Sarathi. Right? Bhishma was in front of Partha Sarathi. So Partha is unable to get that vision of Partha Sarathi. Right? He was behind.
So Bhishma is very much attached to that form. And again, Bhishma is highlighting Lord's causeless mercy on both Pandavas and soldiers also. Even soldiers are also liberated.
So whoever dies or leaves his body looking on Krishna in Partha Sarathi form, or in any form,
so will surely attain the highest perfection of life, attain their swarupa. That's what he says. Now Chakravartipad gives a nice explanation. I and not Arjuna saw with my eyes his beauty as he held the reins of his left hand, whip in his right hand, saying hum hum to speed the horses. May I have form for that, love for that form of Krishna. Now, I desire to die now. The very sweet point. I desire to die now, mumursho.
For having died, I will always constantly relish the sweetness of this Parthasaka form.
Right? If I don't die now, right, how will I see that form again?
So far, I have been witnessing that form only. With these fresh memories, let me die.
So because the Lord has already... Krishna has Parthasarathi.
The Parthasarathi pastimes of Krishna have already ended at this point in this universe, right? So he must be enacting them in some other universe. In this universe, they are already ended. So Bhishma wants that form only. So let me be transferred to some other place where he is in that role, Parthasarathi role. So now here he ended. So now let me meditate and die now. This is the right time for me to die.
Like that. Bhishma did not say, I am dying.
He said, I want to die. Relishing this form.
So
these fighting pastimes of Krishna are also eternal. What to speak of other pastimes?
Now Krishna may question.
True, you have great attachment for my pastime as charioteer, right? And you are relishing them in so many of your verses. I have seen you from 32nd verse till 39th verse. You are speaking that form, glories of that form. So what is the proof that you will attain that form if you die now? So Krishna may ask like that.
In response to that, Bhishma saying, how can you say that I will not attain that pastime?
I will attain it.
Proof, he has. Maraneya matissa gatihi.
Whatever I meditate at the time of leaving body, I will attain it. You only told in your Bhagavad Gita.
So, I will definitely attain. If one dies by seeing you, even if he is killed by enemies,
he is being killed by enemies. So, Krishna is not so much involved. But he is leaving his body seeing Krishna.
Right,
and even though he is a demon, he is attaining sahujya, similar to the gnanis. I am a devotee, Baba. So how can I not attain this form?
You will fulfill the desires of your devotee. So
Bhishma is quite sure of attaining that form
of Parthasarathi. Like that.
So this Parthasarathi form bestowed liberation to even unqualified persons, demoniac people, on the both parties of Kurukshetra. How can you deny that to me?
He is saying, Bhishma. Then 40th verse. Lalita gati vilasa valguhasa. ప్రణయ నిరీక్షణ కల్పితో రుగ్మన కృతమనుకృతవత్య ఉన్మదాంధ ప్రకృతిం అగన్ కిలయస్య గోపవధ్వ. So, now, somebody may question,
you are so having so much love for my Parthasarathi form, means Partha is my greatest devotee, right? He is the topmost of all my devotees, Krishna may say. But Bhishma says, no, actually gopis are your topmost devotees. So, let me have their mercy also, right? I will remember them also, right, at the time of leaving body.
So, Chakravarti gives like that. Right,
so a devotee may be satisfied and relish certain relation with the Supreme Lord in certain flavor, rasa, but there are gradations in those rasas also. Kaviraj Goswami says, if you make a unbiased, impartial comparison between all these prominent rasas, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, Madhurya encompasses the feelings of all the rasas, right, and it is the topmost. And among all the devotees of Madhurya Rasa, the Radharani is the topmost, right? So that's how he establishes the supremacy of Radharani as the topmost devotee of Krishna.
So like that, in somewhere in the beginning chapters of Adilila. So Bhishma Devi is aspiring for the mercy of gopis also. And the oneness of gopis with Krishna is mentioned. So oneness means here, gopis have attained qualitative oneness on an equal footing with the Lord. They are dancing with Krishna. Right? That is like oneness. Gopis' equality with the Lord is not like the Sahaja liberation, but it is perfect ecstasy. Both are in so much ecstasy with Krishna. Right? With Krishna and gopis. And Bhishma is glorifying here gopis, as Prabhupada says, because
Lord is very satisfied and pleased if one glorifies devotees. So in front of Krishna, Bhishma is glorifying his topmost devotees, gopis. That will definitely please Krishna.
So with that aspiration, he is glorifying. Like that. Then 41. Munigana Nrupa Varya Sankulenta Sadasi Yudhishthira Rajasuya Esham Arhanam Upadeva Upapeda Ikshaniyo Mamadrishi Gochara Esha Avir Atma.
So again, he is also remembering how Krishna is glorified so nicely in the Rajasuya sacrifice by giving him the Agra Puja there. So Prabhupada elaborates the details of that incident, and he concludes with a lesson that perfect meditation is shown by meditating on the personal feature of Lord, his form, his activities, his name and fame, not by the impersonal meditation. So this kind of personal meditation that Bhishma is doing, that is superior to impersonal meditation. He quotes this 12.5. Kleshodikatarastesham avyakta satya chetasam Tetvaksharmanir desham avyaktam parvipasate sarvatragamachintyam cha kutastamachalangrom. So all that, they have difficult process. Te prapnavanti mameva sarvabhutahiterata. They will attain me only, but their path is filled with difficulties. So impersonal meditation is not recommended, even by Krishna.
Then 42, last prayer. Tamimam aham ajam sharira bhajam hridi hridi dhishat hridi hridi dhishitam atmakalpitanam pratidrisham ivanaika dharkam ekam samadhigatosmi vadhuta bheda moha. Krishna,
so he's finally understanding, he's revealing his understanding that absolute truth is one. He may have different features. He may have different features of Paramatma present in everyone's heart, or he may be present as Parthasaka, or he may be present in the feature of Brahma Jyoti. They're like bodily rays of Krishna. He's like plenary expansion of Krishna and his personal form of Krishna, right? Or Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan. So these are all the features of the same absolute truth, Sri Krishna. So the source or origin of all these features of absolute truth is Krishna only. So Bhishma is revealing that understanding, and that is his ultimate realization. So the misconception of duality occurs because of ignorance of his inconceivable energy, Prabhupada says. Means Krishna is one absolute truth. He is perceived are present in various forms, in different expansions, Paramatma, Brahma, Jyoti, this and that, right? But one absolute truth. But we see, Prabhupada says that ignorant people will think that they are all different, right? But they are all features of absolute truth. That conception of duality comes because of ignorance. One absolute truth is expanding into many and present in different ways because of its inconceivable potency. One does not have understanding of inconceivable potency, he will be in duality like that. So that's how Bhishma is concluding the prayers. Now 43, we are towards the end of the chapter. Suta uvacha Krishna evam bhagavati manovag drishti virtibhi atmanyatmanam aveshya Svontah Svasa Uparamat. So Bhishma merged himself into Krishna. So this is, Bhishma did not attain Sahaja Mukti. He attained Parthasarthi only. So Prabhupada explains that he attained Nirvikalpa Samadhi, means he completely merged, or Chakravarti translates it as absorbed himself, his mind, speech and sight and actions, everything in Krishna. So with his mind he is thinking about Krishna, speech he just now till now glorified Krishna, sight he was seeing Krishna. So in various ways he is absorbed in Krishna conscious activity. That's why that is called the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he says. So one should not think that he attained liberation or impersonal liberation, Sayujya Mukti. So that is foolishness. That will be revealed in the future verses very much. So Prabhupada says, hearing is most important, especially Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. All nine processes are potent in bhakti, but hearing is very prominent. So Bhishma, one can attain the stage of Bhishma, means of absorbing himself in devotional service, thinking, feeling, willing, everything, by taking shelter of the sound incarnations of Krishna, which are Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So every man or animal, important statements, every man or animal must die at a certain stage of life. But one who dies like Bhishma attains perfection. So Bhishma is absorbing his mind, speech, sight and actions in Krishna and then dying. So every human, actual purpose is, human form of life is meant to die like Bhishma. This is the art of dying.
So you are given one open book question, right, on this? You can write an essay on that. So human form is meant for dying like Bhishmadev. So proper simple theme. Prabhupada says you just engage yourself in the 9 processes of devotional service. Right? That's how you lead life. Right? That's how you live. And like Bhishma, we can die. So like that. So Bhishma's death is not forced by the laws of nature, like the death of an ordinary animal or human being. So from 44th verse onwards till the end of the chapter, how Bhishma's departure is honored and the events after that are described, last 5 verses. Sampadyamanam agnaya Bhishmam bhramati nishkale Sarve bhabhuvuste tushnim Vayam siva dinatyate. So Bhishma had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute. So to enter into unlimited eternity is not Sahaja Mukti. Prabhupada again clarifies, right? It's entering into spiritual world, into the eternal home of the living entity, right? That is our eternal home. So Prabhupada gives this analogy, which everyone knows, still worth recollecting. A machine is there, and it has different parts, right? So the purpose of a part of a machine, a screw, is best served when it is attached to the machine. If it is removed from the machine, that screw is not of having much value. So similarly, we are all parts and parcels of Krishna. Our natural condition is to serve Krishna, but if you are detached from service of Krishna, we are in an unnatural state. That's what Prabhupada explains. So merging into unlimited eternity here actually is referring to again reinstating into the original abode of Krishna. Like that. So degraded living entities, conditioned souls struggle in Durga Shakti, but if someone shows an inclination to go back to Godhead, he will develop a spiritual urge. He is called of having Brahma Jignasa. So there are different 3 types of people who develop their spiritual urge: jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas. So out of these 3 categories, who enter the spiritual realm by developing a spiritual urge, bhaktas are superior to yogis and jnanis, because bhaktas also enter the spiritual realm. These 2 also, yogis and jnanis, also enter the spiritual realm, but their entering stops in the effulgence only. But these people actually enter the Vaikuntha planets, bhaktas. They will enter the, yogis and jnanis enter the spiritual effulgence of Vaikunthas, but bhaktas enter the Vaikunthas themselves only. Enter the Vaikunthas. So that's how bhaktas entering, merging into eternity is more prominent. Right. So that's why this is rejected by all the great stalwart devotees. Prithu Maharaj says, Varan vibhota dvaradeshvarad buddha katham vrunite gunavikriyatmanam ye narakanam api santi dehinam tanisha kaivalya pathe vrunenacha. Varan vibho, oh Lord, Varan, give me some vara, some benediction. What kind of benediction? And tad varadeshwarad buddha, you are varadeshwara, best of all bestowers of benedictions, so you give me that kind of vara. I am a buddha, I am a intelligent man, right? Being an intelligent man, I will not ask for petty benedictions, right? I want the topmost benediction. What all benedictions that he is rejecting? Varan vibhotad varadeshwarad buddha katham vrinite gunavikri atmanam. So those people who are immersed in mode of ignorance, modes of material nature also, will attain this kind of benedictions. Of what? Attaining heavenly planets, right? And attaining Brahman, Brahma Jyoti. They are all like, ye narakanam api santi dehinam. Means they are like entering the hell only. Entering heavenly planet is definitely not like hell, right? It is heaven. But still, his position is not fixed there. As soon as Kshine Punya Marthi Lokam Visanti, he has to fall down. It's a temporary position. Right? Second point is, if they enter the spiritual effulgence there, there is no opportunity to render any service to you. It's worse than hell for me. I don't want that also. Right? You are Kaivalyapati, you are the bestower of liberation, but I don't want liberation. What I want is Sa Uttama Shloka, Mahan Mukhachito. Right? I want to hear, I want thousands of years to hear the glories of your lordship sung by your devotees. Right? Like that. So merging at the eternity is rejected. Brahman effulgence. We are in 41st verse. 44. 45, sorry. Tatra dundu bhayo nedur. Devamanavavadita. Shashamsu sadhavo ragnam. Khatpeto pushpavarshaya.
Thereafter, both men and demigods found in drums in honor, and the honor to all other attendants is demonstration of honor and respect, and from the sky fell flowers of
power. I think we skipped one point here. 44th verse, all present there became silent like the birds at the end of the day. Important point. We missed it. So Bhishma actually attained Parthasarathi planet, right? But common people will understand that he entered into Brahman. He attained Sahajya Mukti. That's why this comparison is given. Sarve Bhabhuvaste, what is this? All present there became silent like birds at the end of the day. So what will the birds think? At the end of the day, they become silent, thinking that the day is died. The day is destroyed. But they don't know that after 12 hours, the daylight will come again. So birds are in ignorance. They think that the day is destroyed and they stop chirping. So all these people who became silent, common people, they became silent because they are in ignorance. They are thinking that Bhishma merged into Brahman. Like that. That is an example of ignorance. But the intelligent people, what they do, what they understand is, at that very moment, in an invisible form, Bhishma fights with Krishna holding the chariot wheel. Bhishma wants constant fight. And in a future appearance of Krishna, Bhishma will also appear with him. Intelligent people will understand these two things. One, Bhishma will reappear to fight with Krishna again. And in an invisible form, already Bhishma is fighting with Krishna holding the chariot wheel. So that intelligent people understand, ignorant people understand, he merges into Brahman, like birds. Then 45, Bhishma's departure was shown a lot of honor and recognition. So those who showed recognition included demigods and higher planetary systems also. They showered flowers. So that shows that Bhishma is so glorious. So qualification on a par with the great demigods is possible only on attainment of spiritual perfection. So Bhishma is on that level. All the residents of higher planetary systems are showing him respects and showering flowers means Bhishma is such a great, he attained spiritual perfection. And showering of flowers from the heaven is a sign of recognition by the demigods, not just decoration of a dead body. Prabhupada says, if you put flowers on the dead body, it looks like decoration. It's not like that. Our Bhishma's body lost all its material effects. It's surcharged with spiritual realization. The body is spiritualized by his spiritual consciousness. Just like iron becomes red hot in contact with fire, Bhishma's body is also spiritualized, right? And they're honoring that body. So these flowers are not decorations of the dead body. Yes. And Prabhupada gives an interesting comment, Jayanti, right? So Jayanti, this word is used for ordinary, some mortals who may be, he may have done great activities in this world. So their birthdays are also called Jayanti. But this Jayanti should be directed towards the Lord. Right? Krishna Jayanti. Like that. Then 46, funeral. O descendant of Bhrigu, after performing funeral rituals for the dead body of Bhishma Dev, Maharaj Yudhishthira was momentarily overtaken with grief. I just read the translation of 46. Only 5 minutes more. So here Yudhishthira was aggrieved here.
So in first canto you will see Yudhishthira Maharaj getting aggrieved several times. First he was aggrieved because he thought he was the cause of the so much massacre. Then here he is aggrieved because of the death of Bhishma. But here he is not in ignorance, he is enlightened. He was aggrieved because of separation from Bhishma Dev. He was aggrieved because, not because Bhishma Dev's material body is lost because of dead body or whatever, not like that. He was in separation from a great soul.
So that is the cause of his aggrievement.
And in future also we will see, when Dhritarashtra quits home, again he is aggrieved. Narada Muni had to come and enlighten. Then when Krishna departs from this world, again he is aggrieved, but he was in knowledge. He composes himself and he also tries to quit.
Right. We will discuss in 15th chapter. So Bhishma's position is glorified here. He is a great family head, great philosopher and friend to all the Pandavas. So, and now Krishna wanted to give Bhishma Dev the pleasure of seeing Yudhishthira Maharaj and Pandavas on the throne. Whole life they struggled. Right, the rightful claim of the throne is not given to them. Right, it's always diverted by the plans of Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra. So now, our Bhishma also, Krishna wanted Bhishma to enjoy this also. Right. Then,
okay, Prabhupada says Bhishma was a liberated person. And funerary ceremony, although he was a liberated person, funeral ceremony is a necessary duty, that's why it's performed.
Like that. Then, 47. There are some more nice points here. You can read, 46. 47. Someone read the translation. So great sages, their qualities also bearing Krishna within their hearts. They have seen the glories of a devotee. So Prabhupada, the theme of Prabhupada's purport is that the devotee, the relationship between a Krishna and devotee is so sweet that both parties keep the other party in their heart. Sadhava hrudayam mahyam sadhunam hrudayam taham. So Krishna keeps devotees in his heart, devotees keep Krishna in their hearts. So that is their mutual relation, like that. 48. Someone read, please. Aesthetic. So Gandhari is also, although she is a woman, she is no less than Bhishma Dev in his character, in her character. Prabhupada says. So following husband sent person is like a living like an ascetic, chastity. It's like man gets power, his power by celibacy, and woman gets her power by chastity. Some statement is there. So, and one more thing is she tolerated so much, right? The wholesale killing of son and grandsons. Right? So Gandhari is also a great personality. Her glories are written in 48. 49. After this, the great religious king Maharaj Yudhishthir executed the royal power in the kingdom strictly according to the codes of royal principles approved by his uncle and confirmed by Lord Krishna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled nicely after that. So how he ruled is the subject matter of first 6-7 verses of next chapter, 10th chapter. We'll discuss tomorrow. So Prabhupada just says that monarchy under the trained king like Maharaj Yudhishthira is far more superior than government, right? Modern governments, democracy, who are people elected by votes only, not by anything else, not by qualification, other things. So thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhishma Dev ki. Shall I give questions? Please quickly note down the questions tomorrow.
1. What lessons does Prabhupada give from Bhishma's way of welcoming guests? What lessons does Srila Prabhupada give from Bhishma's way of welcoming guests? Okay, then next question. How did Bhishma pacify and encourage the Pandavas? How did Bhishma encourage and pacify the Pandavas? Answer you will find from 11 to 17 verses, this 7 verses. In that, you can quote 15th verse. No, not 15. 12th verse. You can quote 12th verse. Then 12th verse and 14th verse also. And 16th verse also. 12, 14, 16. Even numbers. And Prabhupada's comments on each of those verses. All these 7 verses. Important punch lines only. Essay question. Then, all the 7 verses, Prabhupada points, most important purports. 11 to 17, brother. Then, next question. How did Bhishma Dev glorify the position of Krishna? So answer you will find from 18 to 24. Write only the bullet points. Sakshat, Bhagavan, Adya, Narayana, all that. And elaborate on the 19th purport only. 19th purport you explain and get the salient points from the other verses. And quote 23rd verse in that. So first question is 5 marks, second question is 20 marks, third question is 10 marks, 20, 35, and give the flow of Bhishma's prayers, 15 marks.